This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Do want to give a congratulations to Peterlin, who's going to be on Afternoon Drive now with Nick Wilson. Congratulations to him. Usually I would take a bunch of pot shots here and say a bunch of nasty things, but I talked to Anthony yesterday. I go, no, I don't want to do that. I remember it was a difficult transition for you and I many moons ago, and there were a lot of times where we were a little unsure of things and how they were going to go to this way or that. And
yeah, I was applying for TV jobs in other cities.
Yes, you were. And so you also applied for a radio job in another city as well.
There was
so,
one in L.A. There was one in Phoenix. I was ready.
There was one in Las Vegas as well, so I didn't want to... I don't want to do that to Peterlin. It can be a difficult process, and we wish them all the best. I heard a little bit yesterday, and I go, okay, this really he challenges Nick on a lot of things, and I said this could be very, very good. So I'm wishing Peterlin the very best of success, and wishing Nick the very best of success with him. However, I do have a very strong bone to pick with Nick over something that he said yesterday that flatly isn't true. And if he felt he heard it that way, I have to correct him on it because it's simply not true. I never said this. I don't believe I ever even insinuated it. Away we go.
I'm going to say he starts to look better as the weeks go on.
Is he going to get to at least 4 yards a carry by the time we're 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now?
About the yard. It's about how he looks.
Why is it important part of it?
It's about, yeah, but it's not the end-all, be-all. When you have crappy O-line play, he's 3 weeks, 3 games
into it. Because we're going to have a better offensive line all of a sudden next year? Like, if you want to bring him back next year, do you think we're going to have this great offensive line in the snap of a finger?
I would imagine there are things you can do.
Probably going to play behind a pretty bad offensive line next year.
Yeah, okay.
If you bring him back, which I don't know that you will.
All right, but getting back to it, nobody expect the offensive line to be this bad. Because Bill Callahan didn't matter that much, according to Ken Carman and everybody else out there, all of a sudden it looks like Bill Callahan matters. So I'm imagining if you got an offensive line coach who knew his head from his ass, you might be all of a sudden you get better. These football players didn't forget how to football. Maybe they're not being asked to do the things that they're good at.
That was about Nick Chubb to start things off, and I'm going, oh, hello, Nick's, or Lima, you sent that to me. And I went, I never said that about Bill Callahan. I never said that whatsoever. I said it was more important to talk about the replacement of Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan's a man in his 60s. He was never going to be here forever. We're lucky to get 4 great years with Bill Callahan. And he was definitely a help to this organization with the run game, having his office right next to Kevin Stefanski. I mean, this is a former head coach of both high college and obviously was a head coach in a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. I mean, he comes with a great resume and he's a great football coach. I never said he didn't matter. I never, ever, 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 ever said he didn't matter. I said it was more important because of that. Who do you replace him with? Because you can't keep coaches forever. So you're going to have to replace him with certainly assistant coaches. You can't keep assistant coaches forever. Who are you going to replace Bill Callahan with? That was my issue.
Well,
and Andy Dickerson might be my issue.
I remember we did throw it out as a topic of how impactful it will be moving on from Callahan. And my whole point is, like, life goes on. You know, I had some confidence in the hiring process because I thought Stefanski had been able to do that in the past. Yeah. But at the same time, I did say, look, we can't all say collectively that Callahan was a huge, huge advantage that we had. And then the minute he's out the door, not that big of an advantage.
I didn't think he would. I never said that. In fact, there were people who did that. And I can't name names because I don't remember, but I will swear in a Bible there were definitely media members who said that. And I said, no, that's not true. But what is more important, because he was never going to be here forever, especially as an assistant, what's more important is that you replace him with the right guy who knows what he's doing with the offense, and then we can tell who has helped and who has not been able to help. Because, yes, Bill Callahan's entire role was a little bit more pronounced than we classically think. And offensive line coaches are more important than I think a lot of people recognize. Joe Thomas has always said that. Now, I know he's a former offensive lineman, but he's also the guy who said offensive line coaches and defensive backs coaches, because there's just so many of them on a roster, that you have to have very capable people who know what they're doing to be able to coach both of those levels. And if you don't, you're going to have problems. The Browns are having problems right now. And I think, well, you still have a lot of the same, and I know there's been injuries, but you still have a lot of the same ingredients of what you had before. So why are we having problems? All right, then I guess I have to look in the general direction of Andy Dickerson, don't I? And maybe some of that's not his fault. I don't know. But because you still have a lot of the same people, I have to start to go, what question, well, what is your role? What are you doing? Why are we 2-7? Why are we getting sacked so often? I mean, Jameis was sacked, what, 6 times again on Sunday? Which the Browns had 6 sacks in the first half, and then it got completely shut off in the second half. So they were able to make adjustments with the Chargers. So where are we at with this offensive line to make this thing any better whatsoever? Like, DeJuan Jones is over at left tackle. All right, well, where's Jed Wills, who's supposed to be the number 10 overall pick? Like, you understand where I'm going? You already know where I'm going with all this. Well, who picked Jed Wills? Okay, does DeJuan Jones end up making up for that because he's a fourth-round guy? Well, you see, Ken DeJuan Jones had to have help with chips and on stuff with people going up against Joey Bosa. Yeah, it's his second ever start in the NFL at left tackle. You're probably going to need to be able to chip him against a guy who's been an All-Pro before. Probably going to need a little bit of help there. I don't think that that's something that is a bad thing for a guy who's played a lot of right tackle and told me point blank to my face in a radio interview that he is not comfortable playing left tackle. DeJuan Jones said that. I didn't make it up.
I think, Kenny, we have been spoiled for so long with not just good offensive play, good offensive line play, the best in the NFL.
Yes.
And we've had it for so
long. And maybe
long.
We're having trouble realizing where it's been. Like, I had to brush off the old conversations when Tony Pashos was playing right tackle. And then I feel bad about that because I know Tony Pashos was playing hurt. Big
always.
Day for Tony Pashos, by the way, too. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think the issue that I had with the previous quarterback is that we didn't have a way to really evaluate the offensive line, because we know that Deshaun was somebody who ran himself into sacks consistently, even in Houston, even when things were really good for Watson. He took a ton of sacks. So that didn't stop. In fact, it only got worse this year in Cleveland with the Browns. And yeah, we all saw the glaring issue from Jed Wills at left tackle. And they had injuries. They had a lot of injuries. But with Jameis, that first week back against Baltimore, it was like, wow, all of a sudden, the offensive line is holding up. And then we got right back to kind of the same last week. And, you know, there's also more tape on guys, too, so that adds to it. So I think it's going to be really hard to talk offensive line the rest of the year. Like, it's going to be really hard to try to figure out, you know, who's a keeper and who's not.
If it's so hard, then, to talk about offensive line for the rest of the year, and we continuously say that, then I think we're going to leave it at the doorstep of Andy Dickerson. Because as we are finding out, assistant coaches, we don't talk about them very often because we like to complain about the head coach. And that's why they get paid that, because they're going to be complained about. But we find out how important it is with good assistant coaches and a good staff, and why you need to not just have the right people, but when you lose good people, and Bill Callahan's certainly good at what he does, you need to replace him with the right people. Now, I don't ever think, and I never claim to think, that Andy Dickerson would be in the same vein right now as Bill Callahan. But we can't have just 3 good offensive line coaches in the history of football, and we happen to have one of them for 4 years, and then that's it, and there's no other good offensive line coaches. Like, somebody else has to be honing their skills and being good at being an offensive line coach, then maybe being an offensive coordinator, and then maybe being a head coach in the NFL. A la the way Bill Callahan went up and then came back down off the hill and has still ended up being one of the finer coaches in all the NFL. Like, that's something we need to discuss and we need to recognize. But I find it very hard, and maybe it is true, and this you can quote me on. 2-7, I'm supposed to blame solely on Bill Callahan leaving. It doesn't help, but it proves to me that if that's the biggest reason, and maybe it does, because there's going to be so many more things that come out here over the next month and a half if this thing continues to go sour, that if he were the biggest reason, then you were dealing with a paper tiger of a coaching staff as it is anyway. And I would be very sorely disappointed in Kevin Stefanski over the first 4 years of his tenure with the Cleveland Browns to then in year five lose Bill Callahan and all of a sudden forget how to manage people. I just simply want to refuse to believe that right now. If I have to believe that come December in Berea, I it would leave a very bad memory for me of the Kevin Stefanski era, because I do not believe he is out. I do not believe he's untouchable in this entire situation. I don't think there's any way you could. On November 5th, while a lot of people are like, oh, I could see Stefanski coming back. I don't know about Barry and I don't know about DiPodesta. I could see Stefanski coming back. I don't know how you can, on November 4th, think that this thing's not going to get any worse and that Kevin Stefanski can find himself very much in the crosshairs here.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
And
not a chance.
And potential wholesale changes.
Yes. Like, I don't want to call for Kevin to be fired. I don't want to call for any of them to be fired.
Think about it. If we're already talking about Bubba Ventrone.
You've got to recognize reality here.
If we're talking about offensive line coach, Bubba Ventrone, like, well, offensive coordinator, what's more likely to happen? I mean, what is more likely to happen? I know yesterday Stefanski said that there's no changes right now or anything. I mean, that's November 5th, November 4th, and we still have all these games left.
And if they make a change at general manager, okay, what are they going to do with the head coach? Are we going to just leave the head coach and try to put him into some forced arrangement with the new general manager?
No, it'd be a house cleaning.
Or if they move on from Andrew Berry, do they leave Paul DiPodesta in charge with the chief strategy officer, whatever that means in terms of his strategy? Does that mean that Kevin stays and that the general manager is just another, I guess, fall guy in this case? I know I mentioned it with Kevin yesterday. Maybe the general manager ends up being that guy. Like, still, like, if you move on, I feel if you move on from any of them, you move on from all of them. Because I can't imagine this season is going to turn and turn for the better when we're talking about trading guys who are names that people own their jerseys of in the stands before 4 o'clock today. This isn't going to get better soon. It's probably going to look worse before it has any chance to get better. Because all we're trading for today is ideas. That's it. You're not getting anything palpable in return that's going to make it better right now. And the ideas that we trade for, we don't trust the guy who's going to be able to execute those ideas.
No, I don't.
Just a few moments ago on social media, Za'Darius Smith, right as we went to break, tweeted out SMH, all caps for shaking my head. Anything that means, Tone?
His internal polling is telling him something he didn't like hearing.
If you want to talk politics, just talk politics. I know you're dying. Every conversation we have before a show, the night before a show, is turned into politics. I mean, you are full on old.
I'm in it.
State House.
I enjoy it. I really
political
do.
Political correspondent.
I really
Anthony.
Do. And I know people are like, I'm exhausted by it. I enjoy not. It's not about like who's going to actually win or whatever. That's not what I'm into. I'm into actual political discourse, how it's covered. And eventually, yes, winners and losers.
Discourse.
But it's entertaining. I don't know. I've always been that way, especially on a day like today. Like, I kind of get giddy.
I used to be that way. It's taken its toll on me recently, I would say. But what the hell is Za'Darius Smith tweeting about?
Well,
is he out? Is he sad to be out?
Yeah, that's what I wonder, because him leaving is not a surprise. I would imagine that it would be exciting.
Did he just find out he got traded to the wrong team?
Because you're not going to get traded to a bad team.
Is it not Detroit, though?
Hmm.
Because go look under that post. It's all Lions fans, and they're all...
You better explain yourself, because he was asked about being traded to Lions like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, it's intriguing. And it seemed like the Lions and the Browns were about to make a trade for the last couple of weeks. If he got traded to another, imagine you're that fan base. You find out he's upset that he got traded to your team. I don't think you'd be very thrilled about that. Would you not?
Well, that's the whole point of watching what you say at a time like this, because – if you have a bunch of social media posts and the new fan base that gets you, like they want to love you immediately.
Yes, they do.
So you want to make sure that you don't do anything. So that's why that post is interesting, because you'd think he'd be excited to go to any of the teams that would be trading for him, because any of the teams that would be trading for him would be legitimate teams in the contention window.
Like, the Saints aren't trading for him.
No. Carolina's not
trading for him. There's nobody who's competitive that is trading for him. So you would go to you might not go to the Lions, who are a very competitive team. Maybe you're going for a bubble team. Literally wanting to make a move. I'm not sure.
It is interesting. Like, if you think about Amari Cooper's day, the day that he finds out he's going elsewhere, I'm sure Amari Cooper had indications, or who knows, he might have asked for a trade. There's been no reporting on that, right? But you never know the conversations that are truly being had. Or maybe he told his agent, hey, talk to the Browns and let's get something sensible going here. So not a surprise. But then when you're actually packing up your car and heading to Buffalo with the stuff that matters the most to you that you need that day, got your toiletries, You've got maybe a fire stick. I don't know what Amari Cooper has, but there's got to be some things that are important to him that he's taken with him, and other things he's got to leave behind. That's got to be an eerie feeling.
I guess it does, yeah. It's got to be weird. Well, if you're only going, boy, we've at least done them the solid. If he is being traded to Detroit, we would be doing a solid of trading guys who are relatively close. I mean, 3 hours away in Buffalo, it's not even 3 hours away in Buffalo.
That's an
depending
easier
on where
transition.
It is. Yeah, how far is it to Detroit? Two hours?
I mean, I've made it an hour 45
yeah,
before.
Hour 45
just
to Detroit.
Put your foot down and get going.
Where do they practice over there? Do they practice at Ford Field? Where's their facility? Does anybody have any idea or care?
I don't know.
I mean, you got to be, well, everything's spread out there. I mean, they played at Auburn Hills forever. Then they played at the Silverdome forever. Nothing really goes on in their downtown until recently, so maybe they're facilitating somewhere else.
We never think of athletes and their personal lives to that degree. We never think about having to figure out, like, okay, if they have families, their families stay back. They do until the end of the season. Then they have to pivot and figure out what they're going to do.
They have a practice facility. It's 95,000 square feet indoors.
Good for them.
Out in Allen Park.
Where is Allen Park?
It's in Michigan.
Yeah, we know our Michigan geography here, don't we?
So near Windsor, Canada.
We will keep an eye on everything going on with Za'Darius
Smith. About 20 minutes away.
20 minutes away. Well, I guess maybe it's a little bit further there. Maybe he doesn't want to be in a... Maybe he had a bad experience in Allen Park. I told you I had a bad experience up in Saginaw once. Really bad experience in Saginaw. Mike on the road. You're first up on the Fan. Yellow!
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
Morning, Mike. Go ahead.
I just want to say a couple things. There's not going to be any changes. It's just owner's too emotional to make changes. I think your GM...
Wouldn't it be the opposite? Wouldn't an emotional owner make changes a lot? And haven't we seen that in the past with Haslam?
Yeah.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No, I don't think so. I think your GM, he likes his GM, and he likes his coaching partnership. So I don't think there's going to be any changes this year, and there shouldn't be. You know, it's not their fault. These players just they're not greeting with these. You know what I mean? They're not playing to their potential. But the other thing I want to say is from 2024.
Here you go, Tony. What are you thinking, bud?
Good luck. Be interesting to see what happens.
We now offer 2 seconds to anyone on the other
side. You're right. We yes. have to allow it.
We now have to offer
there.
Yeah.
2 seconds to anybody else out there. Yes. We'll give you 2 seconds and only 2 seconds.
I did say, I told Ken this yesterday, they need videos on people taking signs down once their candidate loses. That to me would be an awesome, awesome video. Just watching people, I guess it's over, walk out. Take the sign, put it in the garage.
I've watched a dismantling once, and it was was kind of sad to see the faces and everything. It was like, oh boy, this is something.
I've lost my family and friends over this. Hope it was worth it.
John Greco joins us at 8 o'clock. Hopefully, he hasn't lost any of his family and friends. Ohio State, Penn State was the perfect game for what I said last week. Ohio State is a have. Penn State is a mostly have. Penn State's in this weird spot where. They're in a penthouse with a 6-foot ceiling, and standing on top of their penthouse is Ohio State and maybe a couple of other programs. Like, I did hear this yesterday, and I thought, you know what? I got to give credit where it's due. I do think that Ohio State fans can demand excellence. You are one of the very few programs, and I think it's Oregon now that Phil Knight has decided to just open up the floodgates. I think Oregon is one of those programs. I think Ohio State is one of those programs. I think there's maybe one or two others that can demand such excellence at all times where it's almost unrealistic, but I think it's realistic to Ohio State. I do think, though, that Ryan Day has every right to celebrate on the field, has every right to hug Chip Kelly, has every right to be excited for that win where, guys, you spotted him 10. There was how many people were in that stadium yesterday? 100 or on Saturday? 111,000. Yeah. You had 111,000. Very few of which were Ohio State fans. You have nearly 111 total Penn State fans losing their mind. You've spotted them 11. I think was it Dan Wetzel or Pat Forty was in that press box and said like it was shaking after that pick six.
Yeah,
and you thought Will Howard might go out and fall apart, and you went out and you won the game 20-13. You're allowed to win tight football games against the number 3 team in the nation.
Sure.
You're allowed to do that.
In a desperate game that you absolutely needed to win.
And everything I've said about Ryan Day, I say, yeah, you can still have that feeling because you're supposed to win that game. He can be celebratory of that game. He should be. You can and should stop and smell the roses of a win like that on the road. But also, you're going to hold his feet to the fire because you have a game coming up against Indiana that you did not see was going to be as big of a game as what it is, where they haven't beaten you since 1988. You have a game against Michigan, which Michigan, you should be able to beat up on Michigan. You should be.
Hand them their 6th loss of the year.
And then you're supposed to be a playoff team. And when you spend that much on your roster, it's supposed to be a playoff team. But I look at Penn State on the other side, Tone. I look at them as the exact example of what I've said before. They've actually hired pretty well. Bill O'Brien did a good job after Joe Paterno. And certainly, I think that James Franklin has done a nice job, except he can't beat Ohio State. He can't beat the teams that are above him, and it makes it very, very difficult for them. But I think that they are a program that if they fire the wrong person and then turn around and hire the wrong person, it can have disastrous results. I think Ohio State can pay a guy to go away. I think Ohio State is more than willing and should have that right. I back away from nothing I said last week, and I thought that game against Penn State on Saturday encompassed everything that we said about Ryan Day and Ohio State with that program. That you can demand something more. You can demand more than just beating up on Purdue, beating up on some of the other teams that, yeah, I know, Urban lost to Purdue, Urban lost to Iowa. You can beat up on those teams, but if you don't win the biggest one, and Urban did win the biggest one once, there's really not anything anybody could say to you. You got to be able to beat those teams, and I think that Saturday Tone changed nothing for me. I don't know how you saw it.
It is absolutely a huge final drive there. Ohio State not giving up the football, not allowing Penn State to have another chance to do that on the road, hostile environment. Penn State is it. Maybe this is a bigger conversation about the state of college football. Like, That Penn State team. That Penn State team is going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Most likely.
They'll probably host a first-round game.
They are ranked, what, sixth?
Yeah.
They are now sixth, and yet they have no firepower. They have absolutely no firepower. They throw to tight ends.
They got animals on that defense, though.
They do.
They got some real studs on defense.
They do. But do you have any shot, like in modern-day college football, with that offense, like if that is the sixth-best team in college football, this thing really needs to be won by Ryan Day this year. They really do need to win the national championship. I mean, they've had no problems going into Happy Valley.
You put even more pressure on Ohio State to win the national championship after that win. I love it.
Well, here's what that victory did. It guaranteed Ohio State's going to the playoff. Had they have lost, their resume would have sucked. They would have sucked. I mean, it was a great game against Oregon, and I did not crush them the next day after losing them.
Do you see the Indiana game being like one of those things, like everybody makes a big deal, and then Ohio State's like, yeah, we're going to be Ohio State here.
Well, have you seen Indiana's strength?
Their strength of schedule has been very bad.
It's like 103rd.
But Indiana's not necessarily been the... Like, I wouldn't put a bunch of... I would not schedule big-time D1 opponents out of conference if I were Indiana. You're looking to go bowling if you were Indiana before Kurt Cignetti in this season. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Indiana's been great. They have a legitimate offense. Rourke got surgery on his finger, came back. He looks fine. But Ohio State's going to the playoff. They are going to the playoff now. And so Ryan Day, that's why they took a collective, a deep breath after that. They're like, all right, because they were puckering up all week. I mean, from anybody that was around the program, they're like, they better win this one. And they did. They did. And it is a really good road victory. They've also dominated in Happy Valley for the better part of a decade. They're 8-1 in their last 9 games there. They win in Happy Valley. What have they won? 7 in a row overall? 12-13 against Penn State?
I did think for a team that has wilted, in my estimation, over the last how many years with Ryan Day, I thought it was great that they showed that backbone. I mean, it's 10-0 early.
Yeah, they battled back.
The place is going nuts. I thought that was a real big moment for that program.
A little nervous that, and you're right about the monsters on that defense, but as you know, when you get into the playoff, you're going to be playing good teams.
If you can't score with them, that's it.
Ohio State's got to. It was great that they had the running game. The passing game has to be so much better for them to win a national championship.
You're right.
That passing game that they had on display in Penn State, and maybe they went a little more conservative overall, but with the weapons they have, it's got to be so much better to win a national championship.
No, you're talking about Ohio State. Okay, because for a second I thought I got it mixed
up there. Penn State's got no chance in the playoff with that offense.
So for Ohio State, like I would usually agree with you. However, like, is there anything that I could take away from Michigan's championship last year? It wasn't this air raid offense.
No.
They bullied teams. They were able to run the ball down people's throats. Could Ohio State do that with Quinshon Judkins and Trayvon Henderson?
I was very impressed.
They shared the ball very well.
It was night for somebody who has deeply criticized Ohio State not winning in the trenches. They did. They won that game in the trenches, and that was nice to see.
With some third-teamers on that whole line.
If they can bottle that up, I think it's going to be tough, but if they can bottle that up in the playoffs, then they've got a legitimate shot to win it all. Then it's going to be on Will Howard making plays and making plays down the field. You're going to have to make some plays down the field. You know, the Urban teams that the Urban team that won the national championship, they ran the ball well, but they also could go vertical. This team right now, I don't know how much they can go vertical.
Cardell was such a threat that he could stand there, and then you were able to hand the ball off to Zeke Elliott. Yeah. Zeke Elliott could do Zeke Elliott.
He did it on the shotgun, too.
And he was able to do that, you're right. But he was such a threat to go up top that you could go and rip off 9-10 yards because you were playing in soft coverage because you had to respect Cardell Jones' arm. And you had to do it real quick because, remember, there wasn't a lot of film on him because of the change that they had to make after the Michigan game. So there wasn't a lot of film on him. And they're like, whoa, gosh, this guy has a real live rocket that he can throw with here. And so it changed your defense very quickly, and it was also expertly game planned because you did have studs. You were able to take down Alabama and Oregon because of
right now in a playoff game. Like Ohio State, Ryan Day over James Franklin. Okay, I think most people would have Ryan Day as a better coach than James Franklin.
Yeah.
What about when it's Kirby Smart? What about when it's Dan Lanning? Who are you picking?
I will answer that at another time.
He's got to earn it. I mean, Ryan Day has got to get to a point of earning it. I don't think he has. That was a nice start.
I mean, I've already taken Kirby Smart, and obviously Dan Lanning has already been able to beat him. So.
And out-coached him. I mean, every little coaching thing in that game made the biggest difference in the world in a game that could have gone either way. Coaching was the difference in that
game.
And
Kirby is not a guy who you feel you could get if worse came to worse. Is Dan a guy you feel you could get, or has Phil Knight changed that?
Yeah, it changed it.
It's an answer we might not have to...
They got money.
...come up with just right now.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, the voting has already started. Poll's been open for over an hour. And I don't know about you, Kenny. I know the in-laws, they were getting ready to go right at the start of the day. And I'm going to be going right after the show. Did you have a plan of attack? Have you already got your vote in? Because the lines...
I got my wallet. I have to go home and get it.
Oh, God. Oh, couple of days.
Think you told me that earlier. I didn't think about that.
It's been a bad couple of weeks. I backed into a fire hydrant, lost my keys twice, had to pick through the garbage. And today I forgot my wallet. So I have to go home and get it before I go vote.
See, in other states, you might not have to concern yourself with that. But
what are you trying to say, Tom?
In this state, well, there are different states have different voting day laws.
Wouldn't have needed that ID today if you would have voted early, Ken.
Well, that's true. So I've reversed course. I thought like 8 years ago, 12 years ago, voting early was the way to go. I do not think that's the case in Ohio anymore. Did you see the lines in Columbus?
We had a...
In Columbus at the... Franklin
County Board of Elections.
It was a disaster. People were waiting for like 2 hours.
So my neighbor tried to go.
Is there a length of time where you'd be like, ah,
yeah,
I know it's a close election.
Yeah.
I know our Senate race could come right down
on
the wire.
Early voting?
Just in general.
5 minutes.
In general.
I think that my neighbor tried to go, and she left. She tried to do it. She said it was an hour wait. She's like, I'm just going to do it next Tuesday. Forget it. Yeah, I mean, like, you can't wait.
Well, that's
the
other thing. Like, a lot of workplaces give you grace today.
Today?
They don't give it to you on October 28th.
Yeah. So who has 2 hours, unless you're retired? Like, if you have to be at work, you're just not waiting, right?
Yeah, I honestly wish. Like,
But do you think anybody got peace of mind getting it out of the way?
Yeah, I mean,
was it worth the peace of mind then?
Maybe if they had that much anxiety. I know that today is an anxiety-inducing day for some folks out there.
Well, and you got judges, you've got state Supreme Court judges, you've got obviously your local councilman, you got levies that are big that could come right down to literally a few votes.
Right,
that's where it meant. Presidential, okay. I think we all know in this state has gone redder, obviously, by the year. So that's not necessarily at stake. But you have a Senate race that is polling right down the middle.
Yeah.
It's texting like crazy.
I mean, oh, my God. Are those going to end after today?
I hope so.
It's been at least a half a dozen a day. And I report the spam and block, and they just keep coming. Yeah. They come back even stronger.
I said something really nice to one of them that was more, more my side.
Oh.
Didn't even get a response.
Wow.
And I wanted to write back and be like, you know what, fine, I'm not going to vote your way. Like, you can't even have a nice back and forth.
Well, I don't even know what are real and what are not because
right.
I'm like,
on the fence until this.
Because I'm getting, it's like, send $40. I'm like, I get this yesterday. I go, you need $40 right now? It's 6 o'clock at night, the night before the election.
How are you spending this? Are you getting a pizza party?
What are we doing with my $40 here? What am I doing? Which I don't think I've ever contributed monetarily to an election.
Yeah, I have not.
I don't know what my wife does with my money, but I've never contributed monetarily to an election.
I know a lot of my buddies are hoping their grandparents and their parents stop sending money to candidates. They're like, this is supposed to be for us.
Well,
what are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know.
You're in your 70s. How is this money going to do you any...
That's certainly a podcast conversation if you want to start that. No, but I don't think I've ever voted early. I think I've always just kind of done it on the election day. I don't, and I will tell you this, and it's a controversial take, I don't accept the sticker. I don't like stickers, don't want to wear the sticker. I don't need to show off that I voted. I voted, and that's just fine by me.
I don't need
to tell everybody. I don't like stickers. I don't like stickers.
I will say this is terrible. As somebody who told you, very into politics, I have been for a long time. I studied it in college.
You haven't
I majored
voted
in it
10 years.
If I went today after work and the line was like an hour and a half, now it won't be.
Well, you couldn't wait to lay down a 10-second blurb in a spot, so I can't imagine you'd wait to vote.
I would leave. I would come back again. I'd give it 2 shots. And if it is a long line, I'm not voting.
Well, it's going to be the middle of the day.
Yeah, I'm saying I am fortunate. I should. Be fine.
Well, you know that's public record now.
But I can't understand. First of all, how is it that there are any lines longer? How should it ever be longer than an hour to vote in this
Depends
country?
On where
that's,
you live.
That's ridiculous. Right, and it shouldn't.
But if you have,
that's one of the glaring weaknesses voting in this country is that some places do have to wait an hour, which is embarrassing.
Do they have new people running the polling places? Because if they don't know what, if they don't know what they're doing, the volunteers, if they don't know what they're doing, you might be in there a little bit longer than you usually.
Or they just don't have enough people. And that's sad.
Oh, that's another point as well.
That's sad that it would be that way anywhere in this country, that you'd have to wait an hour to vote when in other places you could just walk right up.
What do you get when you volunteer for that? I imagine they feed you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine, free food, right?
Clerical work. I like both those things. Those are nice. I like filling out paperwork. It's a good
time. Shout out, but seriously, shout out to the, that is a thankless job. People are getting in fights now in lines. They have to sit there and election officials have to make sure you don't bring signage in. And there have been already Donnybrooks breaking out. Like, it shouldn't be that way. So I feel bad for those volunteers, and they are performing a big time civic duty that is very important. And with elections under the microscope, the way they are, shout out to those people because they're not getting paid, I don't think, for any of this.
I'm sure they're listening right now, too. I'm just saying. Well, I mean, you're saying shouts to those people, but I don't think they're...
I believe they're shifts. I hope they're not working for 15 straight hours.
I think poll workers are allowed to download the Odyssey app and rewind and go back and hear the shout outs to them.
Could you imagine if there's people voting right now in a church basement listening to this right now? That'd be pretty excellent. Maybe they heard what that caller said earlier, and maybe they switched their vote when they were standing there at the polling place.
Good.
That'd be something.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.